tonight. I enjoy coming here and being with all of you, worshiping with you. As Brother Lowe said, I'm no stranger. I've been here before, and most of you know me. There may be some that do not know me. But I love Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. In fact, I know of no church anywhere that I think more of than I do of this church. And I love every member of this church. And I am privileged to be here tonight as a guest. I was invited to come. I think I can be candid with all of you, and I hope that you all will be with me. But the day Brother Miller resigned, I went to a funeral up at Hayes. And there was a member of the church, of this church, that was sitting on the same pew we were on. We were talking, and she said, she told me that Brother Miller had resigned. And in the course of the conversation, she said, "Would you consider coming back?" And I said, "Well, if the Lord wanted me to, I would." I'm not lectionary, and I'm not running for the office. But if the church felt that I would be of some benefit to them and they wanted me to come, yes, I'd consider coming back. And that was the first contact anybody made with me. And then there were others, a few others that have talked to me personally. And I told them the same thing. And then one of the members of the pulpit committee called me and said there were some of the people that wanted me to come and preach. And so I'm here tonight because of that invitation. And I can be honest with you tonight, and I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, I want the Lord's will to be done. I know you've had a number of preachers that have come. I don't really know. I know some of them. I don't know all of them that have come. And I have no doubt they're good preachers. And I know that everybody has their favorite preacher. I have my favorite preacher, you know. And the church at Corinth, they were somewhat divided over preachers. And so the Apostle Paul, he said, some say I'm of Apollos, and some say I'm of Cephas, and some say I'm of Paul. And his question was, is Christ divided? And, you know, the church of the Lord Jesus belongs to Christ. And he's the one we need to try to please in whatever we do. Whoever you call, I hope and pray that you can be united in it. Now, it's all right to nominate and to have more than one preacher nominated for pastor. It's all right. Nothing wrong with it. We have an example in the Bible of that. After Judas had taken his own life, the Apostle Peter said, we need to elect somebody to take Judas's place. And they nominated two. And after they had nominated them, they had prayer. And they said, Lord, show us which one of these you want to fill this position. And they elected Matthias, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And I hope and pray, you know, ever how many is nominated. And whoever you call, I hope that you'll come together behind that one. Because the thing about it is, we need to hold up Christ. He's the head of the church. And so I just wanted to get that off my chest tonight. I didn't come down here tonight to lectionary. I want you to know that. But if it was the will of God, and if this church felt like I could be of some benefit to them at this time, and they wanted me, I'd do my very best. But if you don't call me, it will not make me mad. And I will not pout about it. I'll still come, and I'll join with you singing, and I'll support the church in every way that I can. So that's my speech, and now maybe I can do my sermon. But the thing that I wanted to say this tonight, I feel toward this church as the Apostle Paul felt toward the church at Philippi. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you and always in my prayers making mention of you for your fellowship in the gospel. I cannot think of Fairview Memorial without thanking God for this church. It's been a leader. There have been lots of people that have looked up to this church for an example. And it's been a strong church down through the years. And you have were so good to me during the time that I tried to serve you as pastor. And you've always shown respect and love to me ever since then. And so I thank God for you. And I want you to know that. So having said those things, I want to read just a short lesson. It'll be found in 1 Peter chapter 2. And in the second chapter of 1 Peter, I'll read, I guess, 7 verses, and then I'll announce a text, and I'll try to preach to you for a little while. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of God, but chosen, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner. Now that's my lesson for tonight, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, that it'll be for our good and for his own name's honor and glory. Now tonight I want to try to use as my subject for a little while, precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. I want to define the word precious to start with. The dictionary gives us the meaning of the word, and when it's used as an adjective, the dictionary says that it means it is an object of great value, something that is an object of great value. It is something that is not to be treated carelessly. And it is something that is greatly loved and treasured. And when the word is used as a noun, it's having reference to a person. And it means one beloved, one that is precious. And I thought about what the Lord Jesus, what God said about the Lord Jesus. The day that Jesus was baptized, he had walked a long distance where John was baptizing, and he said, I have need to be baptized of thee, you know. Want you to baptize me. And John said, Lord, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I need to be baptized by you. And the Lord said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it fulfilleth all righteousness. And John took Jesus down into the Jordan River, and he baptized him. He immersed him. And when he came up out of the water, there was the Spirit of God descended upon him in the bodily shape of a dove. And there was a voice that spoke from heaven. And that voice was God the Father. And God said, this is my beloved son. my precious son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And he said that on another occasion, perhaps two other occasions as well. And so the point I'm making, that Jesus was and is beloved of God. God loved his son, and he is precious. This lesson that I read says that the scriptures refer to him. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, it said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone." He said, a precious stone. He said, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So to God, Jesus was precious. He was the foundation that God gave for the church that he was going to build. Paul made this statement in 1 Corinthians. He said, "No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ the Lord." And you know, the Bible says that God gave him a name that is above every name. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, it tells us this. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore," or because of what had been said, "wherefore God hath highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So he has a name that is above every name. And the Bible says that that's the only name that has been given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. And I'm saying today that Jesus was precious to his Father. And he is still precious to his Father. And one of the reasons why he was so precious to his Father, he agreed to come to this sin-cursed world and to live among men and to satisfy his Father in every detail, and then to sacrifice his life and make an atonement for the sins of the whole world. And so he's precious. He is of great value not only to God, but he should be of great value to you and me. And we read in the Bible, you know, about the Lord Jesus, how he came into this world. And he came a long ways, you know. I heard a story one time about a man and a woman that they talked every day. Their conversation was work-related. She lived in America and he lived in England. And they would talk every day relative to their work. And after about 3 years, he decided he'd come and see her. They had kind of developed a romantic attraction to each other. And he came to see her. She was so thrilled. She said to her pastor, "Do you know of anyone that ever came as far as he did to see anyone?" And her pastor said, "Yes, I do. His name is Jesus. Jesus left the portals of glory and he came to this sin-cursed world and he came to see you and he came to see me. I'm glad and thankful." Now, I don't know if that story is the truth or not, but it does make a point, don't it? The Bible said, "No man hath ascended up into heaven, but the Son of Man, which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." I don't know where heaven is, but I believe it must be a long ways away. Somebody wrote in a song and said, "Far above the starry skies, And you know that's Bible. The Bible talks about the third heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere above us where the birds fly. The second heaven is outer space, what we call outer space, where the constellations are, where the stars are, and the moon and the sun. And the third heaven is beyond that, where God lives. And Jesus left heaven. He come a long ways to this world so you and I could have a Savior, so you and I could be redeemed from sin, so God could have a redeemed people. And some of these days, my friend, that was the objective of His coming, that in the fullness of time, that God might gather together in one in heaven, you know, in one through Christ Jesus our Lord. There wouldn't have been a soul go to heaven if it hadn't been for Jesus coming down here. Bible says, or a song rather says, I believe maybe Rusty Goodman wrote this song, and he sang it, and it was a powerful song. And Rusty Goodman said, when I think of how He came so far from glory, came to live among the lowly such as I. I can't remember all the words, but anyway, He suffered pain and such disgrace. And on Mount Calvary, He took my place. And He said, and I asked myself the question, who am I? We need to stop tonight and we think about who are we that God would love us enough that He would send His only begotten Son into the world so that we could be saved and could have a home in heaven when life is over. Now, Jesus, we don't know what heaven's like. You say, well, I read a description of it in the Bible. I did too. But I also read that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, and neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. And I thank God that we have the knowledge that we have, but I don't believe we have it all yet. You know what Jesus did before He was arrested? Maybe the night before He was arrested. I don't know exactly about that. But He prayed to His Heavenly Father. And He said, I pray for them that You have given Me. He said, I pray that You would keep them from the evil in the world. I'm not asking You to take them out of the world. Just keep them from the evil that's in the world. And He said, Father, I will that those whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, the glory that I had with You before the foundation of the world. I'm telling you, Jesus left glory. He left the splendor of heaven. And He came to this world. And He suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary. Here's another reason why He's precious, you know. Because when Jesus came, you know, He left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny. It was the lonely hill called Golgotha, where He laid down His life for me. He came to save me. It's a personal thing. It is a personal thing. And God provided salvation and redemption through His precious Son that we might have eternal life and that we might have a home in heaven when life is over. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior that we have. And He's precious. He's precious. He's precious to me. He came looking for me one day. I've been taken to church all my life. You all have heard me tell this, and you've read it too. And I was sitting that I'd been taken to church all my life, never felt condemnation, never felt guilt, just as happy as any kid would be, with not feeling any responsibility for anything. I had a good dad and mother, and they was taking care of me. But I sat in the church pew, and I heard a man of God preach the word of God. And in that sermon, Jesus called to me, "I'm looking for you." He let me know that I was lost, I was condemned, I was separated from God, and if I died in that condition, I'd go to hell. And you know, he continued to deal with me until I was able to repent of my sins and trust in Jesus. And when he did, he took all that away. And he gave me peace that passeth all understanding. And he gave me joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. And I've got the peace tonight. And I've got the joy tonight. I enjoy serving Jesus. And I'm thankful that I've had the privilege for 60 years. Yeah, I'm an old man. I acknowledge that. Mabel tells me nearly every day, "You're an old man." And I know it. But my life's been full. I've had the privilege to preach the gospel to hundreds, perhaps thousands, maybe even millions, by way of television and the internet and various things. I've been able to tell people Jesus saves. I want to tell that the day I die. I still want to be preaching the gospel and telling people that Jesus is precious and that he loves them and he wants to save them. I said Jesus came looking for me and he called me personally. Nobody else knowed that but me. He is dealing with me. And you know, when he called, there was no mistaking. You know, he lets you know where you stand. If you're lost, he lets you know you're lost. If you've been saved, he lets you know you've been saved. And so he speaks with power and with authority. Jesus is an authority figure. He has all power in heaven and earth. It was given to him by his heavenly Father. And he exercises that power. God even gave him the authority to judge the world. The Father said, "I judge no man." He said, "I've committed all judgment to my son Jesus." When people was preaching, or Paul was preaching at Mars Hill, preached that wonderful sermon about the God that they didn't know. Oh, there's so many people in the world today that don't know God. They have religion. They have a form of godliness. But they don't know God. And that's a very sad thing. But anyway, he told them about the true and living God. And he said, "And God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead." No doubt about who he is talking about, is there? He's talking about Jesus. And I tell you, you can reject Jesus. And you can turn him away when he comes to call on you. And you can say, "Not now." Or, "I'm not interested, you know. I will maybe sometime." And you can put it off and die and go to hell. He won't force you to be saved. But I tell you, he loves you. And he wants you to get right with God. When Jesus, after he'd been baptized, the devil gave him a hard time. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And he was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And he did not sin. He did not succumb to the temptation. It made him stronger. Did you know the Bible teaches us if we endure temptations, it'll make us stronger? It teaches that. And the reason I say it made Jesus stronger, the Bible said he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It made him stronger. I'm glad he didn't yield, aren't you? If he had yielded, he would have needed a Savior. But he didn't. He was strong. And he was obedient. And then he began to call his disciples. They weren't apostles yet. They were just disciples. They were followers. He went down by the lake. And there was Peter and Andrew. They were fishermen. They were cleaning their nets. And Jesus said, follow me. And you know what they did? They left their nets and followed Jesus. Went a little further, and there was John and James and John. They were working with their father. And they were mending their nets. And Jesus said, follow me. And they just got up and followed Jesus. And he went a little further, and he came to Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. He had a government job. A lot of people today have government jobs. He had a government job. Jesus said, follow me. Now, Matthew, before he got converted, was no doubt a very, very wicked person. Most of those publicans were. You know, they were hated by everybody else. They exacted more taxes than was required by law. And the Roman government allowed them to do it, and they said, get all you can. And you can keep over and above what you get, you know, after taxes have been settled. We have that example out of Zacchaeus, don't we? He said, Lord, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore it to him fourfold. Them publicans, they wasn't like. But I tell you, Jesus changed that man. And he said, I want you to follow me. And he began to follow. I believe that every saved person, Jesus wants them to follow him. He wants them to follow him. Follow him in baptism. Become a member of his church. Serve him with gladness, you know. That's what Jesus wants us to do. And so he called them. I'm glad he called me. I fought it for a while, not necessarily because I didn't want to be a preacher, but I'd never heard of a 16-year-old preacher. So, you know, the devil says, nobody will believe you. And I said, you're right, you know, so I'll just keep it to myself. But I'm glad I submitted to his call. And I'm glad that I'm still trying to serve him today. But anyway, I want you to think something else about Jesus. How many in here is going to die? You think you're going to die someday? Let me see your hand. You think you're going to die? You're right. Every one of you is going to die. Now I want to know how many of you know when you're going to die and how you're going to die. I don't see no hands. But Jesus knew that. 16th chapter of the book of Luke. From that time forth, he began to tell his disciples, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. And then I'm going to be killed. And then after that, I'm going to rise from the dead. And you just think about this. You know, it was foretold in the Old Testament, even concerning Jesus' death. He said on one occasion in the Gospel of John, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. This spake he concerning the death that he should die. Listen, he left heaven's glory and he came knowing his destiny. He knew he was going to die and he knew when he was going to die. Well, them Jews, they tried to kill him different times. You know, they had a conspiracy going between the different sects of the religions. And they would try to trap Jesus, you know. They wanted to get rid of him. One time, they intended to push him off over a hill and kill him. And he just passed through them. My hour's not yet. You can't do nothing, you know, until it's time. He knew he was going to die, and he knew when he was going to die. And he was going to be crucified. Now you think about Jesus. He was arrested. One of his disciples, a familiar friend, sold him out. He went to the Jews and he said, "Give me 30 pieces of silver and I'll deliver him to you." You know why he done that? He wasn't saved. He was a devil from the beginning. Jesus knew he's a devil when he called him. But he done it, Scripture might be fulfilled. You know, when Judas came up and kissed Jesus on the cheek. Let me back up a minute before we get to that. As the time drew near, he began to be extremely heavy and sorrowful. He said to his disciples, "I'm going down here in the Kidron Valley at the Garden of Gethsemane, going to pray." And they went with him. And he got to the gate of the garden. Now, I'm surmising that this happened. The Bible don't say that just exactly. But he got to a certain point. He said, "Y'all stay here. And James and John and Peter are going to go with me a little further." And so they went further. And then he stopped and he said, "Now y'all stay here and y'all watch and pray." And then he went a little further and he fell on his face and he began to pray. He agonized, the Bible said. Why? Here was an innocent, perfect man. A man that never committed one sin, that was going to have the sins of the whole world upon him as he hung on the cross. And he was heavy and he was sorrowful and he prayed. And his prayer was, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he got up and he went back and he found them disciples asleep. He called Peter by name. Peter had said, when he said, "You're all going to be offended because of me and you're going to desert me. The shepherd is going to be smitten and the sheep are going to be scattered." Peter said, "Not me. Not me. I'll go with you all the way to death. I won't let you down, Lord." And the Scripture says, "Likewise said also the other disciples." And so, I guess Jesus reminded Peter. He said, "Peter, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour?" But anyway, he went back and prayed again. He'd done it 3 times. And Luke said that he sweat as it were great drops of blood. I done a little research on sweaty blood the other day. And the information that I found was that the capillary vessels that carry blood to the tear ducts under certain conditions of physical and mental stress will rupture and the blood will get into the tear ducts. Or the sweat glands. I said tears, but it's sweat glands. Get into the sweat glands. And when you begin to sweat then, it's bloody sweat. And Jesus was suffering so much that he sweat blood. And he agonized. There was a part of him that didn't want to die on that cross. It was the human side of him. But there was a part of him that said, "Father, thy will be done." And God sent angels to strengthen him. And he got up from there and he walked back to the disciples and they said, "Sleep on, take your rest." He said, the time is at hand. And he walked out to the gate, and there stood Judas. And he run up and kissed him on the face. Identified him as the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Son of God. And they arrested him, and they took him away. They beat him. They crucified. They beat him. They mistreated him. He didn't get justice. In the book of Acts, it said I can't get it just like I said. But it said, in his humility, his judgment was taken away. He didn't get justice. He did no wrong. They knew he did no wrong. And yet, they condemned him. And they made him carry his own cross out to Golgotha. And they crucified him. Well, there he was on the cross, suffering. And I suppose he looked around. I don't know that he did. But I know he looked up to heaven and he said, Father, I want you to forgive them. They don't know what they've done. And they didn't. Oh, they knew they had killed a man. But they didn't know that man was the precious Son of God. And the Bible said if they had known, they would not have done it. But they didn't know. In their ignorance and unbelief, they crucified the Son of God. But nailing him to the cross is not what killed him. I told you Jesus knew when he was going to die, and he knew how he was going to die. And there he was up there on that cross. He said, I thirst. Do you think they went and got him a glass of ice water? No, that bunch that had gathered around him, a wagging their heads and a cursing and say, if you're the Christ, come down from the cross. Save yourself. They went and got him some vinegar mingled with gall and gave it to him. I suppose maybe they thought that would be a sedative and that would maybe deaden his pain a little bit, but he refused it. Jesus suffered. He took the full penalty of sin for you and me. And then he said, Father, it's finished. And that means he had completed everything that God asked him to do. He said one time, I do all things that thou hast asked me to do. And then after he said it's finished, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It wasn't possible for them to kill him. It wasn't. He was God. God is from everlasting to everlasting. He's eternal. They couldn't have killed him. But Jesus gave his life. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, the Bible says this, and I'm going to close in a minute. I may have already worried your patience. But you know what Jesus said? He said, herein doeth my Father love me. No man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. That's why God loved him. And he commended his spirit. He just handed his spirit over to his Father. And his head dropped. And he gave up the ghost. Is that the end of Jesus? Precious Jesus. They took him down the cross. They buried him in Joseph's new tomb. Old Nicodemus, bless his heart, he went and helped him. And they sealed the tomb. made it as sure as they could, because they had heard him tell his disciples, or perhaps his disciples told them. And anyway, they had heard that he had said that he would rise from the dead. And they said, we cannot allow that to happen. If his disciples come and steals him away and then tells that he's risen from the dead, we'll be in worse shape than we are right now. And so they sealed the tomb. And then they set guards. They set soldiers to guard the tomb, make sure he doesn't get out of that tomb. Guess what? You know, the women, on the first day of the week, they was going to anoint his body. And they were walking down the path, and they said, how are we going to get that stone rolled away? And when they got in sight, it had rolled back. And there was an angel sitting on the rock. And he said, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. Behold the place where he lay. Later, Mary, she saw Jesus in the garden. She thought he was a gardener. And she said, where have you taken my Lord? Where have you taken him? And Jesus said, Mary? And she recognized him. And she worshiped him. And he said, Mary, go tell my disciples that I've risen from the dead, and I want them to meet me over on that mountain in Galilee. And she run to tell them, and they couldn't believe it. This, you know, it's just too good to be true. But it was true. And Jesus lives. 40 days later, he ascended to heaven. But he left a promise. He said, I'm going to come back. The angels appeared unto the disciples, said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will come in like manner as you've seen him go away. And he is coming. Jesus himself said to the disciples, I'm going away. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He didn't say, I go to prepare a place for y'all. He might not have known how to speak Kentucky language. I don't know. But he said, I'll come back for you, personally. When Jesus descends from heaven, we're going to rise. If you've been saved, if you're dead, your body's going to come to life and come out of that grave. And you're going to rise to meet Jesus in the air. And so shall he ever be with the Lord. Isn't he a precious Jesus? He's a precious Jesus. God bless you. I'm done. I love you. And I pray that God's will be done in your church for his own honor and his own glory. Thank you very much. Brother Lowell, I'll turn it back to you, sir.